What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Gavin Jr., alongside my brothers. I got my radio brother, Pat. What's up, brother? How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm doing all right.
Good. Trying this video stuff out. We'll see. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? But also, too, I got my other friend with me, James, who also, breaking news, or I'm not sorry, brother. James also here with me, who will be doing a radio show coming up this fall, which will be fun. At some point, James, after we get your contract, you know, negotiations all done and everything, and you go through the proper training and all that, you'll be on the radio with me. So that's going to be fun. Can't wait, man.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's been in the rumblings for a while, and we're finally going to put it together. So looking forward to it.
For sure. And as always, I got my guy with me, producer Dom in the corner. Dom, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for this one to get going. So I'm good. It's good to be here. And as always, thanks for having me.
Producer extraordinaire.
the legend.
Too kind. Way too kind.
But he literally put all of this together for us. So big round of applause to him. But fellas, people wondering why are we all here? Yeah, everybody here. Yeah. Why we're all in Eagles uniform or something, you know, I just want to say something. I got shit for not having anything on at the moment. We all have jerseys except for one person. So somebody didn't get the memo.
Oh, cry about it, Gavin. Come on, dude.
Somebody get the memo.
I don't own a jersey. I don't own a jersey. So
someone doesn't. I'm just saying, I got shit for it, so I'm giving shit back. All right. But
it's okay.
It is Eagles preview. The season's around the corner. The season's here, all right? I think the Eagles play the Bengals. Is it tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
Thursday night,
thank you.
Thursday night, yeah.
For preseason. That's at the link, I believe, or is that in Cincinnati?
No, it's here.
Oh, it's here? Is that the link? So that'll be the first time we get to see the champs in action. But we all know the real game starts week one, banner night versus the Cowboys. But before I get there, fellas, let's talk about last year. After coming off a horrendous 2023 season where Jalen Hurts, they go out on an extraordinary run. It looked like they're clear-cut favorites to go back to the Super Bowl after, I'm going to say, a stellar Super Bowl loss. I'm not going to call it embarrassing. I mean, Jalen Hurts played, he balled out that game, and I would say the defense.
Outplayed Mahomes.
He did. He definitely did. He for sure did. and after coming off an embarrassing an embarrassing season like that, where the Eagles, you know, you're the best team in the NFL, then you go out to lose your last six games. They did go through a brutal gauntlet after the Miami game that had Seattle, that had a healthy Cowboys team. They also faced the 49ers at the time. So they went through a gauntlet. They did have the Bills in that stretch as well. But I will say, that's not excuses for what we saw. Defense was horrendous last year. Sean Desai only lasted 1 year with the Birds. Also saw Brian Johnson get the hell out of here as well. The offense goes through reconstruction that year. They get Saquon Barkley. The defense, they go out and get a whole new defensive coordinator. And also a new offensive coordinator as well. But defense started well. They draft Quinyon Mitchell in the first round, followed by Cooper DeJean. You add Zach Bond and company, and here you go. The new season's off to a rough start to begin the year. And not to mention, this year had a lot riding on it for the Eagles. They had questions about Nick Sirianni and his coaching and leadership, and question my front office. Even the dreaded, as my friend Pat has down there, the dreaded number one was getting a question about his play after he did great class. Everybody wanted to know what happened. So with all this stuff riding on him coming in the 2024 season, you start this season off 2-2. You're not dominating. You have a RB, one of the best rosters in the NFL, but you wasn't playing to it at the time. The Eagles then figure out, and as Dom, as a wise friend of mine once said, and you know this really well, run the damn football. It works. And that's what they did. They ran the damn football, and the Eagles were going to win 12. You know, after the bye, they go on to win 12 out of their one, or sorry, they go 12-1. And to close the season out with only coming losses coming from the Commanders in Week 16, which, let's be honest, Hurts got taken out and the boys were undisciplined that game. They lose.
You also had Kenny Pickett playing, so.
listen,
wasn't Devonta exactly,
Smith,
you know.
I listen, as much as I want to say Kenny Pickett was bad, Devonta Smith needs to catch that football. That's ultimately
he does.
The playoffs come along, you go against the Packers again, destroy them. Then you go against the Rams, instant classic. And then it's followed up with your division rivals, the Commanders, who had a wonderful season, putting belt to ass to Washington at home. You go to Super Bowl 59 and you win in New Orleans. You beat Mahomes. Not only did you beat, you destroyed Mahomes. They didn't get a first down. And actually, I'm sorry, they didn't get across the first 50-yard line.
The 50.
Yeah. And you become Super Bowl champions. Now, this is after a horrendous collapse, new offensive coordinators, and they wanted to fire the coach midway. Fellas, after all of that, we're sitting here today as Super Bowl champs. I know the team does not feel that way, as they feel that they didn't win anything, and that's the mindset, and I like the mindset that they have going into this year. But after all of that, you're Super Bowl champions. Who wants to take it away?
I mean, listen, well, man. Go ahead, Dom.
No, I'll start. You know, Gavin, I think that was a great intro by you. That was a really good prospectus of what last season was, because this was a very dominant football team. However, you know, it didn't always seem like that, especially coming in. You know, there was a lot of questions about the coach. There was a lot of questions about the quarterback. There was a lot of questions about the front office, you know, and they answered. You know, I'll say this, you know, if there's one theme that I think, you know, we take from the 2024 football season in general, not just at the NFL, but at the college level, is fans should not fire coaches. You know, not only was Nick Sirianni on the hot seat and he takes the Eagles to win a Super Bowl, but at the college level, you know, Ryan Day was in the same boat at Ohio State. So, you know, I think that's a really interesting you know, twist on things, because, you know, I think as fans, everybody thinks that, you know, they know what's best for the program or the franchise, but there's a reason that people, you know, like Howie Roseman are in the, and Jeffrey Lurie are in those chairs to make decisions. This was a legacy cementing year for Howie Roseman, arguably, you know, one of the, you know, best executives now, not only in football, but in all the sports. You know, I can't think of an exec in pro football that has had a greater impact on an organization. Maybe Eddie, you know, maybe going back to Eddie DeBartolo in San Francisco. Jeffrey Lurie cements his legacy as arguably the greatest owner in Philadelphia sports history. You know, and that's not knocking Ed Snyder, who, you know, brought two cups back-to-back cups back in the 70s with the Flyers. But what Jeffrey Lurie has been able to do in 30 years of owning this franchise is unprecedented. You know, he has gone to four Super Bowls with three different coaches. No other owner can really say that. You know, the closest you get is Jerry Jones, who went, you know, with two, with, you know, Switzer and Jimmy Johnson. But no other owner can say that. Heck, Robert Kraft can't even say that. As for the quarterback, you know, look, 2023 was what 2023 was, but it was a new year. And the mentality that he brought to this roster was, you know, the epitome of what they were, which was they were a laser-focused football team all year. You know, yeah, you know, you brought up the Washington game, you know, right before Christmas, where, yeah, things were a little wacky. But, you know, that's going to happen. But this team was on a mission all year. And, you know, last but not least, you know, the cream of the crop were the running back, the offensive line, and the defense. You know, and we'll get into them much more throughout the preview. I don't want to take up too much of everybody else's airtime. But, man, what a year from Saquon Barkley. You know, this Super Bowl does not happen without him. And this Super Bowl does not happen without the defense. You know, there are a lot of young studs on this defense that make them very scary going forward. They've been one of the most dominant. They were one of the most dominant units in the last 20 years. So, I mean, you know, what a year it was. It was a ton of fun. And I think, you know, the same could very well happen this year.
I mean, to your point about fans shouldn't fire coaches, you know, you started 2-2. I, like a lot of people, thought, you know, if you come out of that Browns game with a loss, Nick should have been fired. Like, it just wasn't looking good. And even after you won, he still should have arguably been fired after starting to fight with the fans, you know, and arguing with the fans.
I mean, I did. I'm sorry. I had to jump in because but guys, did you guys watch the little Amazon documentary they had? He didn't say anything. He said, where's the booing now? I mean, I come from a place, and fellas, I think if you talk shit to somebody, they should be able to talk shit back to you, regardless.
It's give and take.
But, you know, a lot of people were calling for his head at that point.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you don't see coaches give it back to the fans a lot. So, for that reason, I still think that even if you came out of that Browns game with a loss, he was gone. But I'm glad that you got the win and he wasn't, because you went on a nice little winning streak. You finally trusted Saquon to run the damn ball, and it took us to a Super Bowl. And then Jalen Hurts stepped up and delivered you to a Super Bowl championship and won Super Bowl MVP and outplayed Mahomes for the second time in a Super Bowl. That doesn't happen really with any other quarterback, because he's the first quarterback to get back in what was it, Dom, like 20-something years?
Yeah, I mean, well,
after losing the first time?
Yes, you're correct on that note. Yeah, I was curious to see where you were going with that, because like there was a couple different ways that stats chopped up, but yeah, in that situation, and 100%.
But you know, it just goes back to what Dom said. You rely on the run game. You need to rely on the run game here, just because you have such a great offensive line. Those guys love to bowl people over and open holes for Saquon to run through and go on these long runs. You need to do that more, and I hope they do it again this season, even though defenses are going to be looking for them to do that a lot more and try and stop Saquon. You still got to do it, even though they might not give you a lot, because then it opens up the passing game like it did in the Super Bowl, right? Like, the Chiefs knew you were going to run with Saquon. They stopped Saquon. So then they forced Jalen to throw. Jalen threw and led you to a Super Bowl. You know? So I hope that they don't go away from it again.
Nah, I mean, I can chime in here. All three of your points. After that 2023 collapse, right, I went into that offseason thinking, like, what do they need to do to change? And, of course, with the addition of Saquon Barkley, it obviously took them to the next level. But just watching that, I guess the first few games of last season, and especially that Falcons game where they should have blew them out the water and they ended up losing off a Saquon Barkley drop, which was like, he was wide open, right? We're all thinking, what the heck's going on? It's 2-2. But after that game, they were just firing all cylinders. But I think it was actually more so after that Buccaneers loss. And it was just like, it was all systems go, right? And it almost kind of felt like a Cinderella season in a way, even though they weren't the quote-unquote underdogs. Like, they arguably had the best roster in the NFL in a lot of respects. But it kind of felt like a Cinderella season because we're watching quite literally like magic on turf. You know, like the greatest show on turf, so to speak. Like, every game was just like, what are they doing, right? And after that Jacksonville Jaguars game where Saquon does juke, spin, and then hops over the defender backwards, is quite literally on the cover of Madden 26. I remember watching that game and watching that live and just going, oh my gosh, the whole stadium went nuts. And it just felt like from that moment, like, this is our year. So I think, to your point, Pat, I think that as long as they stick to that game plan in going into the season, and especially, you know, with a lot of those guys who were there for a long time retiring and kind of going younger, I mean, they're getting more and more assets and kind of doubling down on that youth and the talent. I mean, the talent is just, it's there. And I think this is the first time, at least that I've watched since being a fan, you know, out the womb. just seeing the amount of young talent, you know, because that first Super Bowl win back in 2017, technically 2018, but 2017-18 season, you know, that was a veteran squad that ended up pulling out that win. And you could even say in that 2022-23 season, they had young pieces, but they weren't quite there. And then seeing what they were able to put together last season was just, I mean, nothing short of remarkable. So I definitely hope it continues. I mean, I'm sure it will. They still have one of the best, if not the best roster going into this season. It'll be interesting to, I think, to see like how they respond to the strength of schedule along with what teams are going to be throwing their way, considering that, you know, they, what they put on display last season was awesome. But obviously teams are going to be game planning around Saquon Barkley's. How are they going to adjust?
Go ahead, Gav.
Well, no, I just want to say to his last point, like, how are they going to adjust? The scariest thing that Jalen Hurts ever said was, people act like I can't pass. Like, you guys remember that quote where he was like, I don't have to.
I shared it with you and Dom.
You did. And that's the thing. That's the scariest thing. The fact that you – go ahead, Pat, I'm sorry.
The dude said, I want to see Jalen Hurts pass more. Did you not watch the same Super Bowl we all did?
Right.
Like, they shut Saquon down, and he was forced to pass. Right. Like, what did you watch that shows that he didn't pass more?
That's the same thing as in the divisional game. I was at that game, the playoff snowball, right? Yeah. Like, I was at that game, and I watched not only Saquon Barkley tear for two touchdowns, but then that one where Jalen Hurts ran, what, over 50 yards?
To Pat's point, what I don't understand when people say, you know, they want to see him throw. He was second in the league in yards per attempt at nearly 9 yards per attempt. Okay. Like he's throwing the football. If you're going to make a case for volume, well, the identity of this offense shifted from the passing game to the running game. And that is where they found success. Okay. Listen, I love the, you know, not that you see it a ton at the NFL level, but I love the air raid offense. If you have the personnel, if you have the quarterback, it's great. But you have, you know, 1A or 1B in terms of running backs in Saquon Barkley. You have an incredible offensive line. Yes, you have a great group of receivers. Yes, you have a solid tight end in Dallas Goedert. But at the end of the day, for this team, their path to a Lombardi trophy was running the football. Now, you know, you zoom in on Jalen Hurts. He had a very good year, generally speaking. Yeah, you could say it was a bounce back year from 2023, but you know, to me, it wasn't necessarily about bouncing back. It was about, you know, unlocking a different element of his game. Okay. From a fantasy standpoint, you know, for the fantasy fans that are watching, one of the things that's going to make Jalen Hurts a great fantasy pickup this year is his touchdown equity. Okay. With the tush push staying, you know, you're going to see, you know, the amount of rushing touchdowns he has on a yearly basis stay the same, if not increase. So he's finding the end zone, whether it's through the I don't understand the, you know, well, I want to see him throw more. I want to see him throw more. He threw enough to get the job done. And that's
the thing.
Look at that.
We've seen.
And he's also cutting down on turnovers, too. Yeah, he's throwing less interceptions. Yeah. He's fumbling the ball less.
That's like, a great point.
If he continues to get better passing, he's a legit dual threat now. And like, how much better do you really want him to get? He's already good enough. He's proved it. He won the Super Bowl doing it.
What people I think fail to really recognize is compared to the other top quarterbacks in the NFL, Jalen Hurts isn't the most flashy. And I think from an entertainment standpoint, people but the thing is, like, you look at Lamar Jackson and he can throw the ball and he's also super fast, right? Jalen Hurts isn't overly flashy. But the thing is, he's a winner. We've seen it when he went to Alabama and then when he went to Oklahoma, and it's translated to the NFL.
But see, here's the thing. Flesh, I don't understand. Like, I love Lamar Jackson. You guys know, outside of the Birds, my first biggest advocate would be Lamar Jackson. But the whole flashy, like the whole sidearm throws that, or no-look throws that Mahomes does, and that's cool. It really is. That's great for a highlight tape. That's something that ESPN can run with forever. I mean, hell, I'm tired of seeing the backwards hurt. I really am. It's a cool play, but I've seen enough. I mean, Pat, it was my background screensaver for what, two, 3 months? Like, it was. But I would say that effectiveness is what matters. Jalen Hurts is effective. Jalen Hurts is a winner. I don't care if he makes a highlight play. If he, at the end of Sunday, fellas, at 9 o'clock on Sunday, when we're getting ready for Sunday Night Football, Sunday Night Football's already on, I want to lay my head down there knowing that Jalen Hurts and Eagles won It may look boring as hell. It may not. Like, the stigma. I'm tired of the stigma being a quarterback. In order for a quarterback to have a good day, they must pass for north of 250 and have two touchdowns. That is not every quarterback. I've seen Lamar Jackson win a game. Yeah. I've seen Lamar Jackson win a game with 150 yards passing and almost 150 yards rushing. And he had three rushing touchdowns to go with it. I've seen games where Josh Allen lit up the stats through the air. And the same thing with Dak Prescott. Where did it get them to, by the way? They didn't get him that far. Like Mahomes is the only one that you could say, yeah, the three touchdowns, but he didn't have a great year last year. Like, we wasn't even looking at Mahomes with this. So I'm tired of, like, Dom, to your point, I'm sick of this whole notion that, like, if it wins, it works. Like, wins in the NFL are not easy to come by. And the fact that 53 men were all able, whether you played or didn't play, were able to win a Super Bowl, regardless of how the quarterback played, I look at it as, look at the wins loss. What was the final team standing? We, not us, but we, the media, Pat, this is what we went to school for. This is what we're going to school for. We, the media, are taught what? To always report and to get, you know, it's clickbaits and all this nonsense. The fact that the media still feels like now is Jalen Hurts at any level of anything, yeah. Right? I'm not even talking about, like, the dumbass list that sent me over the top last time we was on here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking strictly about how lack of analysis anywhere. Look at Madden. He's not. I mean, fella James, you're a gamer. Come on, he should be a 90. And I know Madden's rating doesn't mean nothing, but it's just everywhere you look, people look at Jalen Hurts as like he didn't do anything. I love Lamar, but the last thing I'm like, MVP's cool, but you can forget about MVP. Hell, there's been multiple numerous MVPs that I've forgotten that won MVP, but you know it's not forgotten. It's a ring. Josh Allen can have an MVP. He doesn't have a ring. We're going to talk about Mahomes. We're going to talk about Mahomes forever. Why don't we talk about one the same way? I would never understand that. It's whenever, like, okay, Hurts won the Super Bowl. Well, you know, he didn't have a great year passing. Well, but okay, but look at the run. Like, the run game was on historic. Like, this team was a running football team. The Eagles, historically, and it must be a Jeff Stoutland team. Every Eagles team can run the damn football with a serviceable running back. We did with Miles Sanders. We did it with DeAndre Swift. We just had an excellent year with Saquon Barkley. The only difference with those two is they're good to above average running backs. I take DeAndre Swift more over Miles Sanders any day. But what I would say is Saquon Barkley is not them. When you have a guy that's a stud, the man made the Giants offensive line look good. And fellas, I mean, let's be honest, they couldn't block him if other people were, you know, not there. Like, if they were all cast for the friendly ghosts on the other side, they couldn't block a single person. Like, it doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is that, are we going to sit here and look at Jalen's Super Bowl year and say, you didn't pass enough, but at the same sense, too, I got you, Pat. You didn't pass enough, but you're still a Super Bowl champion. This shit is mind-blowing. Pat, make it make sense.
So I'm going to say something. I'm probably going to get crucified for this, but,
Do it.
It seems like now, especially in the NFL, flashiness wins MVPs, and balance and effectiveness wins the Super Bowl. If you're balanced and effective, you're going to win in the playoffs. If you're flashy, you ain't getting far. You get the rare occasion where you go far.
Can I help you with the only thing?
There's
I
a lot of credence to that point. There is a lot of credence.
The only thing I would say with flashy, my fault, fellas. The only thing I would say about flashy is that when you're flashy, keeps in the MVP race because, like, remember how many times they replayed that damn Josh Allen touchdown catch? That wasn't that important. Yeah. It was just the dude flipped it back. And I'm not even trying to be a hater. Like, you're absolutely right. When you do plays every Sunday or every Monday or every Thursday, whenever you play, that is like that keeps you talking. That's why we talked about Saquon. Like, they're going to your credence point. If you have a flashy play or player that does flashy plays, and is having a great year to back it up, that's cool. But look at Josh Allen. Did he win?
Go ahead, James. Look at Lamar Jackson, his two MVP years. Did he win? No.
Go ahead, James.
Flashiness only gets you so far. You need to, in order to win, you need to be balanced and effective, which is outside of, you know, those guys. Mahomes is the only one to do it with being both. He's both flashy and he's both effective. That's the balance that I'm talking about.
I think that people often forget that there's a 53-man roster, right? Like, it's a team game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people think, and I don't mean to cross sports here, but like, you could be that one man show on a basketball court because there's, you know, there's what, like 15 guys, whatever, on a roster, on the court, but one guy could really be like the showstopper, like we've seen LeBron James do on a Cavaliers team that was arguably lackluster, right? But to go back to football here, like there's 53 men on that roster and 11 on both sides of the ball that are starters, and like it takes everybody on that field to do and be to be, you know what I mean? Like 100%. To go do their thing and to make it happen and win a chip, like game in and game out. With, let me keep in mind, with an added game, you know what I mean? Other than 16 games, there's 17 now. And then playoffs. Like, I mean, week after week in the trenches, doing their thing and making it happen. And, you know, I mean, it, for me, I think number one, Jalen Hurts. I don't understand why other quarterbacks get praised for not winning. And then he gets put down for winning.
Because he's just not flashy.
Right. But like that to me, it's just like, where do we draw the line as fans, in as media members, as, you know what I mean? Not us personally, because obviously we're Birds fans, but like people out there saying all this, it boggles my mind. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I guess to finish out this point, realistically, I just honestly keep it coming, because that honestly, it's been driving Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean? He uses that as fuel. So I say keep it coming, because the man's going to continue to win if you keep putting him down. So,
no, James, I think that's a great point, you know, as we come down the stretch here of this segment. The one thing I would say to Eagles fans, and, you know, I've said this on the radio show before, I've said this on the podcast, and this is, you know, one thing I really respect about Jalen is who he comes from, how he was brought up in this game. From a mentality standpoint, he is a product of his first college coach, Nick Saban. And yep. Nick Saban, back in November, you know, on game day, he was talking about Ohio State and Michigan and, you know, how, you know, the fans of Ohio State, you know, they were infuriated by what was being written about them. And he simply asked, you know, he said, you know, when I used to coach at Bama, you know, when I was at Bama, I would ask, why do you care? Why do you care? You know, why do you care so much about what is written about this guy, you know, by somebody? And, you know, he said the same thing goes for the fans. And I think as a fan base, what Eagles fans need to realize is that's the mentality of number one. Like, you know, everybody, whether it's on WIP, 97.5, WCUR, or any of these, you know, any of these local stations can get fired up about it. You know, but the reality is that, you know, he does not care. He has a very tunnel vision focus, and, you know, that is why he has had success to this point. And that's why, you know, that's a big reason why this football team is very much in position to do what they did last year again this year.
Keep the main thing, main thing.
Keep the 100%. Main thing, main thing, and keep it simple. Fellas, I do want to move on. Because with the new season underway, we got to talk about the offseason just happened. So first off, fellas, round of applause to the big paydays for Nick Sirianni. He gets a multi-year extension. How about that? You shoot him the finger. Instead of getting fired, I get a multi-year deal. Take that to the bank. I'm happy for you. Zach Bond gets a deal. Wow, it's bad. Zach Bond gets a deal. And also to Cam Jurgens. We talked about this offensive line in this last segment. The joy that Cam, like, I had from just watching Cam Jurgens just push people out the way, like, it was nothing. Like, I remember there was a clip and of maybe the same Jordan Davis' rookie year when Jordan Davis absolutely destroyed Cam Jurgens. And I remember people were doubting his ability to do anything after that. And Jordan Davis, I hate that I did that because he was, like, Cam's a damn good player. And, like, the fact that, like, you know, talents and size and everything, you know, paraphrasing, you know, just like overhander his ability. But I'm glad we got to see it today. Well deserved. But now let's talk about the key departures. A lot of people left the Birds. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Brandon Graham. He retired. Well, long, great career. Sank 55, one of the greatest, one of the nicest men.
Two of them.
Ever. Two of them things. One of the nicest men you'll ever meet personally. I got a chance to, you know, meet him for a little bit. absolute great guy. I wasn't a fan of this when it first came out. CJ Gardner-Johnson is going to the Houston Texans. Milton Williams leaves to go to New England, and Mekhi Becton, after crying of going to the, you know, finally winning and going somewhere, you leave us to go to the Chargers. I'm okay with it. Stoughton University, baby. It's all right. And Josh Sweat takes the money and goes to link up with his former DC in Arizona, and Darius Slay goes across the state to Pittsburgh. A little ironic with that last move because you were idolized here. I'm a little bit shocked that you wanted to leave. You were like, you were the voice of the young guys. Everybody respects you. And also, too, didn't you just get pressed by Darnell Washington last time we played? Okay, I guess it doesn't matter. but a lot of losses, but we got some gains coming back. Tyler Steen came back here. We also got Josh Uche along with Aziz
Ojulari.
Thank you. Adoree Jackson as well. And just the name, and not to over, you know, to overstep another segment, but also a stud rookie in Jahi Campbell as well. They did make a trade for a corner from the Raiders, Bennett, the other night. And then sent Booker. And, I mean, that was kind of just like, I think that's going to be more beneficial for the Birds than it would be for keeping around. Yeah. But all in all, that is an all-season move. Saquon got paid again. I mean, well-deserved. He's also on the cover of Madden. The tush push. Keep on pushing, fellas, because it's not going nowhere. And, no, you didn't like that one? Keep on pushing? Damn, all right.
Clever.
We know.
Cool. The chest is fine. And last but not least, thank you, buddy. And last but not least, after all the talks of Dallas Goedert potentially getting moved, he's still here. We're going to run it back with him as of right now. Maybe trade the line. I'm not sure. But, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The offense wasn't broken, and the defense wasn't broken, but they damn sure fixed it. James, we'll go to you. Offseason moves. What's your thoughts? Also, I think Howie Roseman got a new deal as well. Can't forget about Howard.
Well-deserved, of course. I'm going to be honest. That CJ Gardner-Johnson
that hurts
move was really surprising considering how – you know, how talkative he is. I mean, he was a big voice for that defense.
He brought the
boom. He brought the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, I understand it. I get it. But at the same time, is from a fan perspective, I was like, oh, damn it. Not again. Right? I'm cool with Mekhi Becton getting on out. I mean, good player. But, you know, futuristically speaking, expendable for sure. Obviously, Saquon getting that payday. I mean, he wasn't going anywhere anyway. So, but, I think that it's just good to see a lot of these good moves. Howie doing his thing, even bringing that guy. What was his name again from the Raiders? This happened like today.
Jaquiski Bennett, I think.
Right, little magic, little chess moves by Howie, because we all know he plays chess, not checkers.
I will say, sorry to cut you off, James, but to that point that you just brought up, that says two things. One, the Eagles won him originally over Kelee Ringo, which I think that was the
sentiment. Yeah, because he was the pick before.
But also, too, is Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo that bad that you just had to go out and go get him? But go ahead, James.
It might just be more from a reinforcement standpoint. It may not be.
But like,
plus from a competitive standpoint, they're always looking for guys.
That's true. But I'm just saying, like, as an Eagles fan, like, we're what, 3 weeks in the camp and you just make that move. That doesn't tell me that your number, you don't like who you see it to.
Could be. I mean, could be for a number of reasons. We don't know. You know, unless we're in that locker room and in that organization. Like, we for us, it's all speculation. But I mean, I like the moves they made. I like what they got going on. I mean, they're doing their thing. You know, I'm just excited, boys. I'm excited for the season. You know, that's why I got this hat on. That's why I got the DeSean Jackson jersey on. My all-time favorite Eagle is D-Jax. So I'm ready to go. I'm locked in. I'm ready to have some fun.
What? Go ahead, Ben.
Hey? Okay. So first off, let me start with Cam Jurgens, right? Paying him was an obvious thing to do, right? You had to find a reliable back. You had to find a reliable center after Kelce left, and he filled those shoes perfectly. You couldn't have asked for a better center to step in there and take over for an all-time great center, right? Zach Bond getting paid, that's great. You finally have a good linebacker who, you know, I could see maybe having a down year this year. I hope not, but I could see it just because he was so great last year. You're going to be expecting it again from him this year. To the CJ Gardner-Johnson deal, I don't understand that at all. I don't know why you would let him leave a second time. Like, he was the heartbeat of that defense both times that he was here. I said it before on the radio show. To me, he's a lot like Malcolm Jenkins was to the 2017 team. He is the heartbeat of that defense on the back end. I don't know why you would let him leave. Becton, I'm okay with leaving. Milton Williams, I could care less if he left or not. We all knew he was going to take a big payday and get out. The one that, made me a little mad, and it's a two-parter really, is letting Slay walk, but then it's signing Adoree Jackson right after it. Like, Adoree Jackson's going to turn 30. He's only 4 years younger than Slay is. If you wanted an old corner, why wouldn't you just pay Slay what he wanted for the last 2 years and let him stay and retire an Eagle? Why would you let him leave? I don't understand that move at all. And then I don't understand moving Coop to safety either, because now you have to put all your eggs in the Adoree Jackson or Keely Ringo basket as your cornerback too. And I don't like that. You know?
No, so certainly a lot of interesting points made there. You know, I think overall, this offseason grade for the Eagles, you know, it gets an A. Just because nothing out of the ordinary happened. I go down the list. You know, obviously Brandon Graham, was going to it was pretty clear, you know, come mid-October / November that this was going to be Brandon Graham's last year one way or another. As for Milton Williams, who I really like Milton Williams. He reminds me a lot of Cam Hayward. He's that foundational three tech that every defense needs. But, you know, you financially, you weren't really going to be able to keep him. You have Jalen Carter, you know, Jordan Davis is in a prove it year. You're fine at defensive tackle if you let him walk. As for Mekhi Becton, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him stay, but he's another one. What it would have cost to keep him, long term, you're better off letting him walk and developing somebody else. As for Josh Sweat, I'm somewhat indifferent. Yes, he was, he's been impactful throughout his time here. But, you have more horses in the stable, so to speak. So you can let him walk. I'm confident that Nolan Smith is going to have a much bigger year. Yeah, as for Darius Slay, Pat, I think you made a good point. You let him go, then just to bring somebody else who is like a poorer version of that. That's one that, yeah, maybe it was a little bit of a head scratcher, especially, maybe not on the field 100%, but from a locker room standpoint, he's so well respected in that locker room, and he is somebody that all those young guys really valued as a resource. As for the CJ Gardner-Johnson trade, I remember I was on the Super Bowl show that you guys had, and I said I'd be okay with trading him. I got looked at like I had a million heads, but I think from a performance standpoint, yeah, he's expendable. Yes. Was he the heart and soul of that defense? His attitude certainly brought, a different level of swagger. So I get where people have an issue with him being dealt. But I like the move from a draft capital standpoint. And, look, you in your secondary, you have a lot of young pieces that will easily step into those shoes. So I don't think there's going to be much of a drop off there. And Zach Bond gets a well-deserved payday. He was a virtual unknown coming into last year. And he was a virtual unknown. He was brought in to really contribute on special teams. And, you know, credit to Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio turned him into an all-pro linebacker. And he's, you know, coming into this year, he's, you know, arguably a, you know, he's definitely a top 10, but arguably a top five linebacker on some lists. I know PFF had him at number two. So, you know, he gets a well-deserved payday. And obviously, you know, we can't sing his praises enough, but the head coach, you know, gets that extension and that security that he needs. So overall, a great offseason. And, of course, we'll touch on the rookies in a later segment, but they had a great draft as well.
I do want to say one thing, though, and to the CJ Gardner-Johnson point, I'm on, like, the same page as everybody. I hated the move just because, like, you had something to this defense that – this defense had everything. Right, you have the pass rush, you have your end, you have your we have to block this guy all the time, and then the edge rusher, Nolan Smith, stepped it up at the end of the year. Then you had your linebacker, of course, N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond, and even Orlon Burks. When N'Kobe Dean went down, we're flying around the field. You had your hitter in CJ Gardner Johnson. That's why I didn't like the move. You had your cover guy, Reed Blankenship. You had your one lockdown corner. You had your nickel guy that was good, and then you had your aging vet, and then you had a guy who actually knew how to hit. I'm okay with him leaving if Andrew Mukuba actually, hope I said that right. If he turns into the studying over here. All right, I was putting a list together. I was studying over here, but as long as he turns into that guy. I don't need the mouth. I don't need the sass. I don't need that. I don't want the extra attention that CJ Gardner. I think that's what all honestly got him out of Philadelphia was the extraness. I noticed about this organization is there are no nonsense tolerance BS type squad. They don't care. They don't want to hear it. All right. They don't. And I think all past experiences, they learn how to act on things a little bit faster. And they're like, all right, that's how you're gonna be. You just gotta go.
Honestly, to that point, I could see, you know, up until that Washington game where he got thrown out, I could have seen him bring him back. But, you know, like you said, they're no nonsense. They don't put up with that shit. So they could have been like, oh, he just got thrown out for talking shit to the other team. Do we really want this guy around because he's unpredictable? You know?
Also, too, Pat, like, you just need to – I'm always a big fan. I'm all about player safety. All right, everybody calm down. What I'm about to say. All right, fellas, we all promote player safety here. Yes, right, everybody, yeah. James, everybody, Pat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Because it took everybody a minute.
Sure.
But I need a headhunter on this damn defense. Sidney Brown is not it. He is not it. He misfires and he hits and he friendly fires every time. If you're going to be a headhunter, you have to be able to hit. Remember that hit that CJ Gardner-Johnson gave at one of my favorite wide receivers in the league. Xavier Leggett, he lined up.
Popped him.
According to him, that's the hardest he fell all year. So that's what I'm saying. You have to have a guy like that. Reed Blankenship is not that guy. I'm not calling these guys soft by any means. I mean, hell, I can't take it from none of these gentlemen at all. I don't want to either. All right. Coop DeJean dropped a grown ass Derrick Henry on his ass for no reason.
That's hard to do.
And that's hard to do.
You're asking somebody to do the impossible right there.
And he did it all by himself.
You're taking down Thanos.
But I
literally,
say,
literally, that is extraordinary. That's extraordinarily difficult.
Taking down a freight train running through down a football field.
Right, quite literally.
I'll
be honest though. As you guys were talking, and you know, you guys were talking about Zach Bond, I really don't want him to be like a one season wonder. You know, like the one-hit wonder kind of thing. You know,
that's what I'm worried about.
Going from nothing to being an all-pro, done, and all of a sudden just falls. But I think, and as I'm talking about this, I think the reason why I don't think that will be the case is A, is talent, and B, I think it's the supporting cast around him.
Yes.
And you're not asking him to be like a Luke Kuechly kind of guy, you know what I mean? Or like a Patrick Willis.
That's an excellent point.
I can't even just say that because he had a supporting cast a little bit, but that's, you know what I mean? Like, you're not asking him to be like the guy. He just is that guy. You know what I mean? And he's shown that with his talent and his work ethic. And, you know, luckily Howie's just a magician and has created
hold on. James, I got it. I just got to say, he just became a magician because, if he did not recover from 2021, he would have been a straight dumbass.
Oh, I mean, he's been making moves for a long time. I mean,
yeah, he has, but
he's been a puppet for a long time. Like, I'm talking, like, the assets he's gotten from
the trades. Here's the sad
part. It's not just the trades themselves. It's, like, the pieces and then making the moves and then actually picking the guys. And, like, and not only the talent, it's also, like, who they are and how they fit onto this roster.
You're not wrong, but the only thing I'm going to say about that is, and this is kind of like back to Dom's point where you can't listen to fans. Fans, and I'm one of them, you're right. He's been doing a lot of moves for a long time. I mean, hell, he built two Super Bowl champion winning teams.
It could have been three.
And the rebuild was quicker than what it should have. There was any. They were competitive the whole time, except for maybe 1 or 2 years.
Having rebuild took what? 3 years, maybe?
To get back to Super Bowl, to start winning again.
To start winning again. And, like, it took 5 years to get back to the Super Bowl, but it
took two from the start. Oh, okay. Again. It took two.
Yeah, he only had that one bad year during the pandemic.
Yep. And then he had that off year, and it was Hurts's, like, I'm just still running. I'm a running quarterback here.
Like, it was really Hurts's rookie year when you think about it. Right. Yeah, like, you know, you can't count 2020. As I mean, look, yeah, on paper it's his rookie year, but I mean, he wasn't, you know, the full time.
Oh, he was a weird time with Carson.
Yeah, he wasn't, you know, his rookie year was his rookie year was really 2021 when you think about it.
But go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I would say, like, in Jalen Hurts' timeline, like, you kind of put an asterisk next to that 2020, right? And that 2021 is really where, like,
it happened. I think.
No, it did. I'm not going to dispute that. I'm just saying. That was a weird time, you know. Yeah. It was kind of the end of that weird era, like, after we won the Super Bowl and going through that, like, bumblefuck, excuse my language, of kind of, like, figuring out where we're going next. You know what I mean?
James, this is a freedom of speech show. You can say whatever the hell you want on here. All right, just want to know.
Eureka.
Wait, this I'm not going to say that. I'm about to quote Pat McAfee for a second, but I'm not going to do it.
Right.
To your point, though, it's like, I just look at, like, this Eagles team. To my Howie point, he's been making moves, but fans only remember should have been Jettis. And the sad thing is, and no matter how much Howie wins, right, it's not going to affect him. But there's always going to be that because, you know, you brought A.J. Brown here and you got Devontae Smith. But every year that Jettis does something amazing, Eagles fans, they may forgive because of what you got now. But, boy, if you ain't never get none of these two gentlemen that you have here, your ass would have been gone. He would have been gone. And I'm not just saying – like, I gave up on it, okay? I let go. I mean, I got the sixth jersey on, Devontae Smith, one of my favorites. But that was – to that 2020-21, that didn't help Hurts at all either. It was Devontae Smith and him and a young, still kind of developing Dallas guy. Like, he wasn't – Dallas guy just got paid that year. That it was Hurts' rookie year. So I look at that now as, like, thank you for those 2 years because I don't think he would have been the same man just because of where he came from. But I think that mentality would have been so different. Like, I don't think we would have been have, like – and I think – and I'll wrap it up here. It's like, we talk about if Bill Belichick would have been a coach here. You're dealing with it right now. And Eagles fan and Philadelphia media hates it because you have a guy that has a personality as bland as black coffee. Terrible. Just no taste. No taste. But I will say that what Pat, like dark coffee?
I was gonna say. I honestly was gonna say Jalen Hurts is.
I wasn't the one that said anything. It was James.
He's an inspirational quote factory.
No, you know? But so to my point though, because you know, see, for y'all who don't know,
it's great.
Every time I say something, this guy to my bottom left corner, who used to stand across from radio, will make a face at me, and it's either face of what the fuck are you saying, or I'm so I'm looking at him as I'm making this point. It's like natural. I got something. You know, I'm gonna just look at somebody else now, but. The media hates it because you don't have a guy that's animated.
Yeah,
to the public, you have a guy that looks miserable at the time. He looks like me. I mean, fellas, you guys see me on my bad days. I look miserable as hell. And the funny thing is, the sad thing, you know there's something wrong with me, and you know he's pissed off. And the fact that we'll look at you and we'll say nothing, or he'll go out and say, I gotta play better, you know, or he'll throw something in there. That kills the media because they want him to be pissed off. That's not him. He looks boring. They said, well, Jalen Hurts finally smiled. He said, no. Like that's some cold-hearted stuff right there. Just be like, no, you won a Super Bowl. Like, I never seen someone win the Super Bowl and look miserable right afterward because he has to do media. Like, that is our quarterback. And the fact that – I love it, too, because it's he protects himself so much from you guys because he knows that you weren't going to like him anyway, so why the hell do I have to alter myself? My play on the field, my winning, my success, he has the highest win rate since after that, what, his rookie year, Dom? I would guess it's got built up with Lamar and everybody, and Mahomes as well. That's another great conversation to be around, too, but no one's talking about it. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how – I'd rather my quarterback be miserable and pass for 200 yards and the Eagles win than my quarterback make a play and look animated and this, that, and the third. Hey, Don, do me a favor. Edit this last part out because I think I just want this to be its own standalone part because this is just good by itself. With that being said, this is wrapping up the Kickback Pod here. A little bit of recap of last year going into this year. We got a lot of fun things planned ahead for the Birds. So stick around. We got friends.
Part two
of this. This conversation ran a little bit longer, so we're going to do a little bit different. I got to talk to production because, you know, production's going to look at me like I'm crazy. But with that being said, your boy's tired. James making funny faces at me. And Pat wants to go watch the Schwarb Bomb. So we're going to get up on out of here. Real quick, NFL news at the end that just came up in. It's the Eagles talk show, I know. But Keenan Allen is returning back to the Chargers. I think that's great for him. Go right out in the sunset where you were more deserved and should be. And yeah, but with that being said, this is Kickback Power. Rate us a 5-star. Until next time, we will see you. Peace.